You hurt. You're exhausted. You have a brain filled with confetti. Some mornings you don't want to get out of bed. You're puffy. You have acid reflux. You have unexplained rashes or maybe hay fever. You have started reacting to products that you have used for years. You are overweight. You've been to the doctor. They don't know what's wrong with you. They aren't helping you reduce your pain. They act like they don't believe you. They want to give you pills, pills, pills. You don't want the pills, but you don't know what to do. Maybe you're meant to have a life of pain and pills. Is that you? Well, if it's even a little bit like you, you're going to love to listen to our program today. Our guest is Cheryl Meyer, and Cheryl can tell you about some of these problems and how she overcame them. She holds a BA from the University of California in Berkeley. She's a certified integrative nutrition coach, and she's received a designation from the Institute of Integrative Nutrition in New York City. She's a self-employed business owner and is a member of Wellness Universe. The book that we're going to be talking today is called It Feels Good to Feel Good. And this book has won 11 awards to date. Cheryl, it's so nice to have you on the program today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
Okay, so you talk about a lot of things. This is a big book. And some of the things, some of the people that we're talking to right now have never heard of, don't know what they mean, don't know what the correlation is between this and that. So I want to, well, let me let you tell your story first then. Give me a summary of how you got into this.
I had my own jewelry business, and I was a workaholic. And signs of toxic load had started to build, but they flitted past my brain so quickly I didn't really stop to register that my body wasn't feeling good until one morning I woke up and everything in my body hurt, every muscle, every bone, and I had no idea what was wrong with me. I had noticed that I had started getting brain fog in the morning. I was drinking more and more coffee. And I had what is now, I understand, known as chronic fatigue. I was exhausted. I was more tired when I woke up than when I went to bed. And so I went to the doctor, and I had a conventional doctor. And 4 visits later, we had run all kinds of tests, and she looked at me and said, "There's nothing wrong with you." I said, "Well, obviously there's something wrong with me. I hurt." And she said, "Well, there's nothing wrong with you, but I don't know if there was. I don't know what it is. You might want to go see a psychologist. But in the meantime, here, take these steroids." What? You don't even know what I have, and you want me to take pills? And both of my parents had had unusual diseases where the pill became a worse problem than the disease itself. So I wasn't going to go there. So I turned my business over to my staff, and I started researching, not even knowing what I was looking for. And I sort of accidentally came across something called the functional medicine community, and they were running all kinds of symposiums, and I literally listened to 20 of them that were all multiple chapters, and they all kept coming back to the same thing. It sounded like I had leaky gut, didn't know what that was, sounded like I had autoimmune disease, wasn't sure where to start with that. But if I did have autoimmune disease, there were 2 things I could start to do right away that would help myself. The first one was to lower my stress, which I knew I had a lot of because I thought it helped me get more done for my business. But I have learned being chased by a tiger 24/7 is not a good idea. And the second thing I could do is start to eliminate toxins. And when I started researching toxins, I was appalled because I had hundreds of them in my life. So that was where I started. I finally found my own functional doctor who did tell me I had autoimmune disease, but there's 140 different named autoimmune diseases, and I had something called undefined autoimmune disease because I had a little bit from column A, a little bit from column B, and a little bit from call them, see, like a Chinese menu, but I had all the markers for it. And the difference with a functional doctor is she ran totally different tests, and they look for root cause. And yes, we did start with leaky gut. So that was where my whole journey began.
Okay. I was taking a couple notes here. The first thing that you said was, well, maybe not the first, but you said, I researched the problem, and I found out that I might be suffering from autoimmune disease. Now, give us your best definition of what is autoimmune disease.
Okay. Autoimmune disease, if you don't properly digest your food, and that could be from a variety of reasons. You could have parasites. You could have stress that's interrupting your digestion. You could have food sensitivities. And it ended up, I have 18 of them that don't allow me to digest my food. It could be that you're eating things with lots of toxins that interrupts your digestion. You could be eating things with herbicides and pesticides on them that are interrupting your digestion. And what happens when your digestion isn't getting your food particles down to the right size, the wall of your intestines is only one cell thick. So the food starts pushing up against the wall of your intestines, and it eventually pokes a hole through, which is why it's called leaky gut. So it pokes a hole through, so these larger particles are going into your blood. And your body does exactly what it's supposed to do. It screams, attack, because it doesn't know what that particle is. So it triggers your immune system, and then it triggers it to do more and more. And what happens is really interesting. If I were young, I would go back and become a biochemist, because I find this all very fascinating. These food particles start to mimic different tissues in each of our bodies. In my case, it was my muscles and my joints. For somebody else, it might be their thyroid. For somebody else, it might be their skin and be causing psoriasis and eczema. For someone else, it might be their lower intestine and cause IBS. But it triggers some tissue somewhere in your body, and your immune system attacks it because it can't tell the difference between what that food particle is and the tissues that are being triggered by your immune system. And so autoimmune is when you have a hyperactive immune system, because these little particles are too big and getting into your bloodstream.
Okay, so your premise is that all of the autoimmune diseases, of which there are numbers, are caused by a, quote, leaky gut, which allows larger particles to come into your body, which the body's not used to, doesn't know what they are, and wants to fight them, and so has their immune system try to do that, and that's what causes the disease, right?
Correct.
Okay.
And autoimmune is, although they then become specialized, obviously something like MS is more complicated, but this is where it all begins, and then it gets more complicated. And if you have one autoimmune disease, it's not unusual to get others, because as time goes on, your body doesn't know what to do, and it begins to attack more and more of your body. So it's the place to start. It's not the end result, but it's the place to start. You got to heal your gut if you're going to make yourself feel better.
Now, you had a conventional medical doctor, and conventional doctors think that steroids will hold the immune response down. Now, is that your understanding? Is that why your doctor recommended steroids for you?
Yeah, it doesn't cure it, and I'm certainly not cured now. I just don't have pain anymore, which is why I wanted to share what I learned with everybody. But the steroids will take away the pain, but the root cause of your disease continues and can get worse. So it was important that I find the root cause of my disease in order to reduce my inflammation and return to some form of wellness.
Okay, so you mentioned the word inflammation. That can mean different things to different people, and the significance of it could be great. Tell me about inflammation from your understanding.
Well, it was interesting. When I was working on myself, I was working on inflammation that was causing autoimmune disease. I have since come to understand that inflammation really is the root cause of most of our chronic illnesses. And it's because if the body isn't understanding what's going on and you have leaky gut, it can cause cancer. It can cause heart disease. It can cause strokes. It's all one big family. It just makes itself known in different ways and different people. And when I get inflamed, I still get what's called a flare on occasion. Like, I live in Los Angeles right now. We have a lot of smoke. That causes a flare in me, which means I can gain 5 pounds overnight. My face becomes a balloon. I can feel it in my hands. I can see it in my ankles. They get swollen. That's all inflammation, and inflammation eventually causes pain, but it also causes your body to break down, which is why it's at the root cause of cancer and other chronic illnesses. Inflammation is the core, and so it's toxins that cause inflammation and inflammation that causes chronic disease, and chronic disease often causes pain.
Okay. So, in your scheme of things, we want to get rid of inflammation. And
correct.
I imagine that you're telling us that there are thousands of toxins of various kinds in life, in the world, that can cause inflammation, and you should try to get rid of as many of them as possible.
There's something called toxic load. My toxic load had been building for 20 years, only, as I said, it flitted past my brain and I didn't stop to recognize it. The first thing I noticed was I couldn't stand to be around anybody with perfume on. I couldn't breathe. The second thing I noticed was my mascara was bothering me. And I went through several mascaras because they all made my eyes tear. Then I realized that my underarm deodorant bothered me. Some of them made me blister. Other ones made me rash. Those were all signs that my toxic load was building. And then one morning I woke up. This is where I should have gotten it, and I didn't. My tongue and my lips were swollen and my eyes were swollen, and I figured out it was because of fabric softeners that I had used on my laundry the day before and changed my sheets. So all of those are signs that your toxic load is building, and when it tips over the top is when you get sick. And so I tipped over the top. I woke up. I couldn't move. I couldn't function. I hurt. So it can take, you may have inflammation building in your body. You may have toxic load building in your body and not even be aware of it until you reach the tipping point, which is why I'm trying to get my message out about toxins, because I think it's what's wrong with our medical system in this country, because we have so many toxins in our life. We can't possibly keep up with what it's doing to make us sick. So we need to start at the root and get rid of the toxins in our life so that we stay healthy. And then we don't have a medical problem. We're 37th in the world in health. That's a pretty frightening number. And the one that's even more frightening is 53% of our children have some kind of chronic illness. So I'm trying to get the word out that I identify in my book where the toxins were that I found and what I replaced them with less toxic items. So it's important that you become aware and that you start, every single toxin that you remove is one step closer to health.
Well,
it took me 5 years to get rid of them all.
Yeah, I'm thinking that you could, as an individual, do a scientific test if you think something's a toxin. And if
absolutely.
And if you think, well, this might be causing this symptom, then the scientific test is stop that thing and see if you get better.
Yes and no. It's about toxic load, so it's cumulative, even with stress. I know I had a lot of stress, and sometimes I didn't. I didn't consider the fact that stress is cumulative. Well, the toxins are also cumulative. So you might eliminate one toxin, thinking that you have found your key, but it won't make a difference because of the cumulative toxins that are in your body over a period of time. Each one that you remove is one step closer back to health, but you have to keep removing in order to figure out what's causing your symptoms, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So what you're doing, the criminals is you're putting down in your book some of the toxins that you found so that people can consider if they have that in their life and can do something about it, right?
Correct. And what's interesting, I didn't write the book with this in mind, but you can read any chapter as long as you start somewhere. It doesn't matter if you start with what the vegetables are that you eat, or if you stop with the fact that I was using a cosmetic that was very expensive and was a 9 on a 10-point scale. So you could start there. Or you could start with what you cook your food in, or how you store your food. Or I no longer drink water out of plastic because all of that is leaching in and is poisonous that was leaching into the water. There's lots of places to start. The important thing is to start somewhere.
You mentioned that your doctor told you that you had chronic fatigue syndrome. Is that right?
Correct.
Well, back when I was practicing medicine years ago, we didn't have any chronic fatigue syndrome. You got fatigued when you worked too much, and you went to sleep and got a good night's sleep, and you felt better. I'm not sure that anybody knows what causes chronic fatigue syndrome, but I have...
Well, actually, I kind of do.
Okay.
My cortisol got very low because I was stressed all the time.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't low enough for my conventional doctor to react to it because I wasn't yet to Addison's disease. But it was very low and it was impacting my energy. And so that's where my fatigue was coming from. So I can sometimes my cortisol will dip and I can tell that it has dipped because I now read my body really well. And so I'll then make an appointment to go see my functional doctor and say, my cortisol is low. We need to talk about this and what we're going to do about it again. At the moment for it, I'm using a Ayurvedic remedy that's Rodelia, which I think is a flower. But I drink Rodelia drops in water, and that is helping me rebuild my DHEA, which is what cortisol is made from, and then that goes over and it creates cortisol. So tomorrow, actually, I'm going to get a test to see if my cortisol is more back to normal. I can tell that it's better because I'm not really tired when I get up in the morning. So it's all related to the cortisol.
Okay. Now,
which is one of your hormones.
You talked about stress, and I would like to tell you that my opinion that chronic fatigue syndrome and some of the other more unusual things come directly or indirectly from too much stress. Would you disagree with me?
They come from too much stress?
Yeah, too much stress in your life is what causes...
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
It's directly related to stress.
All right, so we agree on that point.
Right.
Now, the Bible says, Jesus said, be anxious of nothing. In other words, don't worry because it isn't going to do you any good. But so many people don't take that advice, and they worry about everything, and they're stressed about everything. And I think that if somehow or the other you could get it into your mind that there's nothing worth worrying about, because 90-something percent of the things that you worry about never happen, and the other less than 10% of the things that eventually do happen, you probably couldn't have done anything about it anyway. So...
I had a serious case of worry when I got sick, and I actually inherited it from my mother,
uh-huh.
And it ended up I had a little bit of a chemical imbalance in my body that was causing me to worry more than normal. But I have learned that it doesn't do anything for me to worry. It doesn't solve anything. And so I have learned some exercises where I actually will write down on a piece of paper, what am I worried about, and could that possibly, what could I do about it? Because it doesn't bring you anything. So you're absolutely right. You have to get rid of the anxiety. And I borrowed a term from Dr. Daniel Amen, who's the guy who takes brain pictures. He calls them ANTS, A-N-T-S, anxious negative thoughts. And I like that term because worry is like ants that have invaded your brain. You got to get rid of them because they'll drive you nuts. And they certainly are not good for your health, and they are not good for your stress level. I've also learned some breathing exercises so that if I am worried or I am stressed, They're very simple breathing exercises that will lower my parasympathetic nervous system so that my pulse goes down, my blood pressure goes down, and all of that goes away. And part of the book has chapters on what I call toxins of the brain, toxic stress, toxic lack of sleep, toxic ants, and then toxic relationships and toxic lack of movement, because all of that is part of health and part of what creates toxic load.
You know, I have been, my passion is to help people get rid of 30-something different addictive behaviors. I define an addictive behavior as a behavior that you have that you find is either hurting you or is hurting someone you love. And for whatever reason, you can't stop it. And if that's the criteria, then you could be addicted to sugar, you could be addicted to relationships, you could be addicted to just about anything. And the idea is, why do you, why are you not able to stop this, okay? And my answer to that is, can't stop it because it's caused by low self-esteem. I don't value myself enough as a person, and I don't have this spiritual understanding of knowing why I'm a valuable person, and I don't need all these things. So you can look at it from a spiritual point of view, or you can look at it from a conservative medical point of view, or you can look at it from a functional medicine point of view. Regardless, you can do something about it. And so that's why we're getting your point of view today. But I just want to say that anxiety or nervousness is one of the 20 symptoms of addiction. And in my book, I tell you what those 20 symptoms are. And you can combat them tremendously by curing the problem of addiction. Just a little sidelight there that I wanted to talk about.
And I was in a toxic relationship when I got sick, and that certainly was an addiction. And it was honestly an angel's hand on my back that moved me out of that, because had I not moved out of that relationship, I don't know that I would have gotten well. But I don't completely agree with you about sugar, because sugar is actually a chemical addiction that lights up your brain like a pinball machine. It's been now proven that it's even more addictive than cocaine. And you have to withdraw from sugar in order to get rid of that. And that takes maybe 3 or 4 weeks where you don't eat sugar at all. And when you come out the other end of it, then you don't crave it anymore. But what happens when you're addicted to sugar is it screws around with your hormones. There are two hormones called ghrelin and leptin, and it turns off your apostat for hunger. And so if you're addicted to sugar, you're probably eating more than you need to. I used to eat a big Thanksgiving dinner and still be hungry, and that was weird to me. Well, it was because my body wasn't, those hormones weren't working properly in my body. And so by doing the detox to get off of the sugar, I broke the addiction, and then you don't crave it the way you used to, and you're not hungry all the time anymore, which is kind of amazing because you've always been hungry all the time and you're not anymore. You've broken that addiction.
Well, now I'd like to ask you, do you see a relationship between the addiction of sugar and the addiction of overeating?
Yes. There are other things that cause overeating. Probably lots of things, but chemically, in terms of overeating, the sugar makes you always hungry. There are chemicals in processed food and fast food that turn off your ability to judge whether you're hungry or not. They're there specifically so that you want to eat more of that product. And the food companies are aware that they're putting that in the food. One of them is MSG. And we all know that MSG isn't good for us, but what we don't know is now there's 39 different names for it, and it's still being put in all of our processed food because you do get addicted to it, so you want to buy more and eat more of that food.
I want to...
So,
Yeah,
it's also, there's emotional aspects to overeating as well, and I don't want to downplay those. But there are some things that you're not aware of that are chemical that are causing you to overeat, and by overcoming the chemical addiction, you can get more of a handle on the emotional reasons for why you're doing what you're doing.
Let me add to your thought here, and that there is a chemical that is put into over 4,000 food products and cosmetic products and chewing gum and stuff like that, that will either kill you if you take enough of it or cause disease and has killed or messed up many, many people. And it also does what you're talking about, which is if you use that to lower your weight or to not have as many calories, you think that that's going to help, but it doesn't. It makes you want to eat more. And the name of that chemical is aspartame. And it is.
Yeah, all of the fake sugars are as bad or worse than regular cane sugar. Aspartame is a neuro. It affects your brain. But the other two are not good for you either. The pink packet is also a neurotoxin, and the yellow packet impacts your gut so that you can't digest your food. It breaks down it kills off your good bacteria, and so it's the beginning of leaky gut. So it does make you crave more sweet. It's not good for you. It certainly doesn't help you lose weight. It makes you gain weight. It's a real problem. So the real sugar and the fake sugars are all not good for your body. The only one I use is stevia, but I just did some more research on stevia to discover that the liquid stevia and the white stevia, the process to make them, are also not good for your body. So I just bought the real stevia green leaf that's ground down that we're now using as our sweetener. Or if I'm going to bake, which is only on a rare occasion, I use real sweeteners, which are honey, maple syrup, or coconut sugar, because they're all come with gifts as well as the sweet. And so sugar is sugar is sugar, but if you're going to use something that's sweet, it's better that you use the natural ones, because they also come with some benefits and some minerals and some things that are good for the body. But in general, you need to back away from needing the sweet, because it doesn't do you any favors.
Let me clarify something that you said, which is they're all bad. As far as the pink packet, that's saccharin, and my research indicates that there was only one study that was ever shown to be harmful, and that was in some rats, and they gave them doses 1,000 times what a human would take. And so, for me, I would agree with what all you've said, except that I think that the pink package is the safest package. So if you're using any of the rest of them, and certainly don't use any aspartame, and check your labels for that one, because that's the worst. Another thing that you said is you need to cut down on sugar or sweetness anyway. It's not necessary to get through life to have sweet things. You can do it. You don't have to have dessert. If you buy desserts, you find out that it increases your calorie count, increases your weight, and it damages your budget. But that's a whole other story that we could get into.
Well, if we have company over, what we serve for dessert now are berries, because berries are low in sugar, and we use coconut cream that we whip and add just a touch of stevia on top of it, and it's a great dessert. It gives you a little touch of sweet, but it also does have benefits for your body because it's filled with nutrients. So that's my sweet of choice.
Great. We're talking with Cheryl Meyer today, and her book is called It Feels Good to Feel Good. Well, Cheryl, how do they get a copy of your book?
They can go to my website, which is Cheryl with a C, C-H-E-R-Y-L-M, like Mary, health, H-E-A-L-T-H, Muse, M-U-S-E.com, because I want to inspire you to feel the best that you can feel. And you can get my book there. You can get a sample of my book there. I gave a link to the Reverend that I have some free information that you can click on under this talk so that you can get some health information for free that will help you. It's my tips for living a healthy life. And my website is loaded with great information. I even have a free class there that's an hour-long free class about where we've been deceived the most and where the worst poisons are, so that you can sort of get an overview of where to start before you even read the book. And you can just find that right on my website. You can click on it. When you go to the Learning Center at Wellness Universe, you first have to register for the Learning Center, but then you can register for the free class and listen to it at your convenience. I really see myself now as somebody who wants to educate others so that they don't end up where I was, frustrated, not knowing how to feel better, and not even knowing where to start. So I'm getting as much information out to the public as possible so that if you're, and believe it or not, I've met a lot of people with autoimmune disease who are in the same boat as I am, whose doctors wanted them to go to a psychiatrist or a psychologist because they didn't know what was wrong with them. So I want to give you a place to start, and my book is a great place to start. And I get people who write to me all the time who say, your book saved my life, because all they wanted to do was throw pills at me, and you gave me an alternative way to turn around my health. So that's why I'm here today talking to you.
You went back to school at age 67, and I think that's related to a very important thing that I try to teach people, which is you'll have a much better life if you learn why you're here on the planet, because everybody has a mission, and I think that you are searching for your mission. Is that right?
Absolutely. And this has become my mission, because I'm concerned about what all these toxins are doing. And at first I got really angry that the government is allowing me to have all of these toxins in my life. But if we all join together and stop buying these products, the Institute for Responsible Technology says it will only take a 5% shift, and all of these businesses will figure out that we don't want the toxins, and they will start to change. And I started 7 years ago now, and I've seen huge changes where I could only find one cosmetic line 7 years ago that was low on the toxin scale. Now there's alternatives. So it's starting to happen, but I make a big play at the end of the book to join me and become an army of one. Because although we're all going to stop buying them for ourselves, together we'll become a huge army that will start to impact what's available to us so that we can stay cleaner. And there's another group that you might consider joining called Moms Across America if you have children. They're really fighting the toxins because they're fighting for their kids. And all the research you can do on your own, I did it. It's not exactly an easy database to go in and noodle around in, but there's a database called EWG, the Environmental Working Group, and they have hundreds of thousands of products in there. And if your product's not in there, you can look it up ingredient by ingredient so that you can figure out how toxic the items that are in your life are. Just an example, for 20 years, I had an itchy head. Well, comes out, I'm allergic to a toxin that's in most shampoos. So I have now found a shampoo that instead of being an 8, 9, or a 10, is a 1, so that my head is no longer itchy. And those are the kinds of products I wanted to share with you, because I did a lot of trial and error in the beginning until I found products that worked for me. It's just a place for you to start. And if it's not the right product for you, then you can go back into EWG and find something that is right for you. But at least it's a jumping off point.
Now, Cheryl, this is a great book. People should buy it. But do you have any other projects on the drawing board?
I actually have started writing my second book, which is How I Live This Way, because I have people, my two big objections when I'm out talking or doing podcasts, like, because people write back to me. They can't afford to buy organic, so I have come up with 30 different ways that they can buy organic that I'm going to put into my second book, or at least that they can save on their food costs. And then the second thing they say is, I must be terribly deprived because I eat around all of these toxins. And my husband and I are anything but deprived. One of the interesting things that happened, I've only been married 3.5 years. I met my husband after the toxic relationship ended. He wanted to go on a get well journey with me, and he's lost 80 pounds since we've been together, and I've lost 45. So, and we didn't do anything but just clean up the toxins, because when your body isn't operating like a symphony, it can't drop the weight. So if you've ever had a problem losing weight, it may not be that you don't have willpower. It may be that you have a heavy toxic load. At any rate, I'm going to write the book so that I can tell people all my little tricks to keep these toxins out of my life. I put a filter on my water in the kitchen, and I bought stainless steel bottles. So I never leave the house without my own source of water, because I don't intend to ever drink it out of plastic again. We travel quite a bit by car, so we bought larger stainless steel jugs that we put the water in so we can fill up our own bottles. All of those little tips, I have 18 food sensitivities, and I put them on a business card with my picture, so that if I go to a restaurant, I give it to the waiter and say, go to the kitchen and find out whether he can feed me, and I put the picture on the card so he can find me when he comes back in case he forgets who gave it to him. I usually will call a restaurant ahead of time to make sure that I can eat there, but I even went to France. I translated it to French and traveled all over Europe with it, and people were amazingly accommodating to cook around my 18 food sensitivities because they cause a flare. So there's all kinds of little tricks that I've learned in living this way now for the last 5-6 years, and I want to share those with everybody to make it easier for them. But we are not deprived. We're foodies. We eat really well. We just eat different than everybody else. And we eat food that's real, that's toxin-free. I only buy organic. There is something called a Dirty Dozen list. If it's on the Dirty Dozen list, that's where you start to spend your money to make sure you don't buy those vegetables because they have the worst amount of pesticides and herbicides on them. But there are ways to do it, and I want to share all my tricks. And then I have a 6-part class, also in the Learning Center, that's $50, which is about $8 a class, called Food Quality Matters, where I explain all the things I've learned about food category by category. Like, I didn't know what a GMO was, and I explain what it is versus what conventional growth is versus what organic is. Because I want people to understand. It's easier for me to do things when I understand them. So that's where I am at the moment. But I'm going to continue to build on this because I do want to get information out to the public.
So the information in this book, it's available on Amazon?
Yes, it is available on Amazon. Sorry, absolutely. You can buy it on Amazon.
Okay. Well, these days, most people use that to buy their books, I think.
One more thought. If you do end up buying the book, write to me. You can get my email address easily off of my website because there's a workbook that can go with it that I'll email you where you print the part of the book that you're reading in the workbook, and then you write down what you find is toxic in your life and what you're going to replace it with when you run out of it. You have been using this product for how long? You're not going to go throw everything in your house away. You're going to systematically, one by one, replace it as you run out of the old toxic item, and then you're going to use the low toxic item for the rest of your life. So it gives you a place to record that and keep you organized so that it's not daunting. It's an easy thing to do.
Sounds great. I think that if people will take your advice, they'll be healthier, they'll be happier, they'll be less stressed, and they can live a better life. So, Cheryl Meyer, It Feels Good to Feel Good, great book, go buy it. And Cheryl, thank you so much for being on the program today.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.